The school adopted my daughter's new identity, which was a boy, adopted new pronouns, changed her records to be male name, male pronoun, called her that in class. You might want to keep this a secret. Your parents may not be accepting. They told me I was unsafe. So they were safer for my daughter, a child they never met, and they called me conservative, right wing. I'm a Democrat. They know that. They don't want to put that in the story because that's going to open it up for other Democrats that believe what I believe. We've never done this in the United States. This is a new movement that all parents are bad until proven good.
My guest today is Aaron Friday, executive committee member for Protect Kids California. She's here to tell us about a policy in California schools and how this policy has impacted her and a lot of parents across the state.
At what age do they teach this in schools?
The age that they start teaching about transgenderism now is TK. That's 4 years old.
Wow.
Once you start messing with that system in the body, even if that child stops, there are lifetime ramifications. And so you're a medical patient because you're putting hormones in your body for life. And then you're a medical patient if you stop.
Is there any money to be made out of this, in this process?
Billions.
This is our last episode on this YouTube channel. California Insider is now a full-on media company where we're covering a lot of news across the state. You can go to californiainsider.com to check out our news. We have a lot of news reporting, we have a lot of videos, we have opinions, and we have our full episodes there. We also are creating a new YouTube channel, which we're gonna leave you a link in the comment section below. Make sure to watch us there, as we already have a number of episodes there. We're going to be making the show more investigative. We're gonna cover a lot of interesting issues that's happening across the state, and we hope you're gonna be a part of this. I'm Siam Akwarami. Welcome to California Insider. Aaron, it's great to have you back on. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
You have been working on this big issue in California, and we've covered it once you came on, and parents in California are recognizing that they are not getting notification in schools when their kids transition or change their gender. And some parents have gotten frustrated, they got on school boards, there's some battles on certain counties and areas and school boards. Can you tell us about this trend? What's happening in California schools now?
Well, in almost every California school in our state, including private schools, if a child is distressed about their gender or confused or wants to change their name or change their pronouns, the schools have been directed by the California Department of Education to keep that a secret from parents. Now, it's a policy, not a law, and so schools misinterpret it, and they believe that it's actually the law, which it is not. And then these schools keep it a secret from the parents, and these schools think that they're doing something kind and loving. They think it's the same thing as if you were to quote unquote, out a gay child. It's very different. So when a child takes on a transgender identity, they are having acute distress with their natural body. Very different from being sexually attracted to the same sex. Very different. And these kids need their parents to help ferret them along and to understand that these children are disengaging with their natural bodies. It is a, you know, it's a psychosocial treatment to then socially transition a child. So a school is actually performing a medical intervention, a mental health intervention on children and cutting the parents out. Rob Bonta, who's the Attorney General for the state of California, wrote in his lawsuit against Chino Valley that 86% of all of the children who believe that they are transgender have thought of committing suicide. Now that percentage is woefully untrue. I mean, 86%, that's just not actual reality, but let's just assume that it is. If 86% of these kids are thinking about suicide and you cut the parents out of this discussion, is it helping the children or is it harming them? 100% it is harming them. 95% of all suicides for the younger kids, I believe it's 14 and under, happen at home. So now you've cut out the parents, so the parents don't know to be on the lookout for suicidal tendencies. They don't know to lock up their prescription drugs. They don't know to check on their child. So when the schools think that they're safeguarding their children, they're actually putting them in more danger.
So their idea is to protect the children. The state has these policies. They're not laws, but they're policies to actually not tell the parents because they want to protect the children.
That's what they're stating. So they're conflating. They say, we're outing the kids. You're outing the kids? Outing them, you're telling the parents that the child is distressed with their body? Because that's what it is. It's gender dysphoria, which is a mental health issue. It's in the diagnostic statistical manual. And so you're keeping this from parents. Parents are not kicking their children out when they come out with a transgender identity. There is no data on that. I work with thousands of parents. We do not kick our children out when they say that they're struggling with gender.
So are they arguing, so their thought is that if they tell the parents, then these kids might kill themselves. Is that what's yours?
Not only will they kill themselves, but the parents will abuse them. So it's kind of backwards, right? So you are designating parents as abusers out of the gate. So we're not going to tell parents because all of them would abuse their transgender kids. That's what the Department of Education is stating, that all parents are abusers. So we can't tell any parent that their child is struggling. Now, I know from personal experience, when my daughter came out as transgender, we loved her more. We looked deep into what is the causality. Why is she rejecting her female body? What is distressing her? Why is there so much pain? Why does she look in a mirror and hate herself? And we were able to then return her back to comfort in her body when we understood what the root cause is. If you shut the parents out, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. It's deception. You're lying to parents and you're calling parents criminal right out of the gate. We've never done this in the United States. This is a new movement that all parents are bad until proven good. That's the antithesis of our judicial system in the United States.
Now, can you tell us about your story? How did the school hide this information from you, right?
Yes, the school did. The school adopted my daughter's new identity, which was a boy, adopted new pronouns, changed her records to be male name, male pronoun, called her that in class, well, online class, because we were online at the time, and didn't call me. They didn't inform me that my daughter was struggling with gender dysphoria. They cut me out, and when I discovered that they were using a new name and pronoun for her, and I called the school, they told me I was unsafe, or that they were the safe space. So they were safer for my daughter, a child they never met.
How did they know that you're not safe?
Because I was not using her chosen name or her chosen pronoun. So I, the bigot, the unsafe person, they knew nothing about me.
But did your daughter tell you this name or?
No, my daughter kept the new name and the pronouns a secret because the school also tells them, keep it a secret. You might want to keep this a secret. Your parents may not be accepting. I'm a liberal. I voted for same-sex marriage. I worked in a law firm that was predominantly, well, many gay lawyers. And still, they wouldn't share this information with me. But they don't know anything about me. They don't know anything about any of the parents that they decide that they're going to lie to, because it's a lie. It's a lie that hurts the kids. And a lot of these teachers, they don't know how much they are harming these kids. Many of these kids, if you look at the causality and you shower them with love, because we want our kids to grow up with their natural bodies. We want them to look in the mirror and love what they see in the reflection. Many of these kids will stop believing that they're the opposite gender. And that's what we want. We want that because we don't want them to have their body parts removed. We don't want them to be sterilized. We don't want them to be lifetime medical patients. We want the world for our kids. And when the schools are keeping secrets from us, they take that away from us parents.
Now, did the teachers, in your case, did the teachers know? What was it like from the teacher's perspective? Did you talk to any teachers?
It was COVID when my daughter changed her name and pronouns. So this is the interesting part. My daughter did not go to that school. She did not walk into that building. None of those teachers had ever met her except through a computer screen. And they were safer than me? They knew nothing of my daughter. My daughter had an avatar up on her screen. They didn't even know what she looked like. I mean, she would turn her screen off. And they knew better than me? Where were they at 2:30 in the morning when my daughter was having a panic attack? Were they there? I was there. I will always be there. And that's how parents are.
Now, Aaron, how widespread is this in the schools in California? Because we have talked to some teachers, and some teachers say there's not that many. This is not what they're not doing this. And some school administrators say, well, this is a complicated issue. How widespread is this in California school system now?
When I go and speak in front of people, I ask them to raise their hand. And I said, 10 years ago, how many trans-identified kids did you know? Did anyone know any? No hands go up. And then I ask, how many of you know of a trans-identified child? All the hands go up. This is a massive problem. We see the increase of kids saying that they're transgender growing by 20-30% year after year. Eight out of 16 of my daughter's Girl Scout troop came out as something on the LGBTQ alphabet, most of them saying that they're trans. I mean, you can walk around and you can see these kids. They wear a uniform. It keeps growing because what the schools are doing is they are teaching them at younger and younger ages that you can actually choose your sex. That is a fallacy. That is untrue. You cannot. And that the doctor could have made a mistake.
At what age do they teach this in schools?
The age that they start teaching about transgenderism now is TK. That's 4 years old. And they do it through cute kids' books. And these kids are very malleable. And in fact, there's a manual called Schools in Transition. And it was written by the ACLU, GLSEN, and I can't remember the third author of it. But in that manual, it says in black and white, teach this to the younger kids because they are more malleable. They're more impressionable. So we know this because you can tell a little kid that they're Santa Claus, that the moon is made of cheese, and they believe you. And they are doing the same thing. They're getting to the children when they're young and telling them that the doctors just guess what you are. They guess your sex. They don't guess your sex. I had an amniocentesis done when my daughter was growing in my belly. That was at 6 weeks, something along those lines. The doctors didn't guess, nor did they observe. They knew the sex of the child that was growing in my belly. But these kids are being taught that the doctors are just guessing what you are. And that's just untrue. It's not scientific, and it's a lie. And so these kids then go through life thinking, well, if I don't like the changes in my body, I don't like the black hair growing on my arms or the hips that are growing, I'm just going to hop out and I'm going to be a boy now. That's what I'm going to do because I can. Because actually the doctor could have made a mistake, so I'm a boy. And that's what they're believing. And they also are believing that all of their discomfort, their self-loathing, their struggles will magically disappear if they hop sex. Certainly in my daughter's case, she was severely depressed, lonely, isolated over COVID. And my son was having a good time. The boys were riding their bikes and going around and playing on the fields, and the girls were locked up in their little towers. In her mind, if she just hops over and becomes a boy, things will be better. And then you go online and you start typing in about things you don't like about your body. Well, you must be trans. You can take a trans quiz online. Anybody can go to Google. I invite the listeners to go ahead. Am I trans? Type it in. Take the test. I was super trans. I mean, I passed the test with flying colors. Everyone passes the test. The mere fact that you're asking, am I trans, that means you might be. And so these are what these kids are looking at, and they're living in a virtual reality where they play video games where you can change skins. You can become somebody else. And when you're uncomfortable with yourself, you want to be somebody else. And as a kid, I mean, we have to go back to when you were a teenager and when you had your posters up of your heroes and you're longing to be that person. I want to be just like Madonna. I want to be just like this famous baseball player. Well, now you can. You can just hop. Take a couple pills, take some syringes, rearrange your body, and you're going to be a whole new person. You can push that person who got teased a little bit, who's not that cool, away.
Before we continue, we would like to thank Shen Yun for sponsoring this channel. It takes you back in time to magical world of ancient China with a unique blend of brilliant dancing, beautiful costumes, and legends coming to life. Go to shenyun.com to find out the schedule and theater information. It's a lifetime experience you don't want to miss.
Just so inspiring. It makes me want to go dance.
Breathtaking.
I was very impressed.
I'm taking my program and I'm going to mention it on the news because I think it's a great performance and people should see it.
What I loved about the show was the authenticity of it. It was taking me on a journey.
Exceptional. The technique involved, that the thousands of hours of training.
People just float.
Everything was exact, and then they worked to the exact moment, and it was beautiful.
You go away feeling with a smile in your heart from it.
Have to come. Life-changing.
Make sure you see it. Make sure you see it.
Don't wait. Don't get your tickets now.
Can you tell us what it looks like? What are they teaching in schools?
So I brought an example of a book that they're teaching in the preschool and in kindergarten, first, second grade. And it's called I Am Jazz, and this is the story of Jazz Jennings. If you know who he is, he's a little boy whose parents at the age of 2 or 3 decided that he was actually a girl because, if we look at this, because he liked to dance, because he liked makeup, because his favorite color was pink. And the parents took this as an indicator that the child is really a girl. And so kids are being read this, and it's, you know, it's beautifully designed and illustrated. And they're reading, well, if I'm a boy who happens to like the color pink and dance and like to play with dolls, I must actually be a girl. I'm not a boy who likes girl things. I'm a girl. And that's a really dangerous lesson, and they do tons of these books.
And where is this book at? Are they in classes?
Oh, they're in classes. They're on the teacher's bookshelf. Sometimes the teachers hide them so that the parents don't see them. Certainly over Pride Month, these are the ones that are read to the kids.
But they're not part of the curriculum.
These are not part of the, well, there's not much of a curriculum when the kids are younger, right? It's
the teacher has flexibility on what they use.
Right, and come sit on the carpet and, you know, teacher's going to read to you. And so they're giving this dose of being able to hop out of reality and that boys can be girls and girls can be boys. And, you know, if you happen to be an effeminate boy, that means you're actually a girl. When really, you're just probably going to grow up and be either a feminine man or be same-sex attracted. No big deal. Okay? So we're actually transitioning gay kids, which is conversion therapy, you know, beyond belief. I think most Americans would be upset to understand that in Iran you have a choice of either being a gay man and being killed, or you can transition. Now, most Californians would be aghast at that, but that's what we're doing to our gay children, is we're transitioning them. We're telling girls who like boy things that they're actually a boy. And that would have been me. I was a total tomboy. I played with all the boys. Anyway, so that's the dose. And then for the curriculum, they weave in transgenderism into every class. So you have history, social studies, math, GLSEN, the group that I told you who wrote Schools in Transition. You can go to their website and they will give you a curriculum so that you can do word problems about transgenderism. In Spanish, when they're talking about feminine words and masculine words, the gendered words, mm-hmm. the difference.
Because Spanish has
yes.
yeah.
And in French,
male and female, yeah.
Exactly. In French, they do the same thing. And this is a way to weave in a transgender lesson. They have books like this in the libraries. They're available to anyone. Fifth grade, sixth grade. I mean, this book, I have the page marked, tells children, we're talking children, how to post pictures of themselves into dating apps and find a lover, and where to meet them and how to meet them, and then what to do and what to bring with them, what they need as far as lubricants are concerned.
Wow.
This book in particular, our governor, Gavin Newsom, Attorney General Rob Bonta, and Tony Thurman, the superintendent of our schools, wrote a letter to school superintendents about book banning. We will have no book banning. I read that letter and it had live links, and you go down to the first link and you click on it and this book shows up. So this is the book that our governor in the state of California wants to keep available to our children in our public schools. Rob Bonta, Tony Thurman want this book for 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds. There are a lot of parents who are now on school boards or running for school boards to get these types of books out of the hands of our kids. And there are schools that are trying to pull these books. And there's a movement underfoot of parents trying to safeguard our kids from being indoctrinated with this type of materials.
Now, Aaron, let's get to the teachers. It's very hard to believe we have hundreds of thousands of teachers in California. It's very hard to believe that the teachers are kind of pushing this. Or is this happening because some teachers are doing it, some teachers are not, and it's some districts, they're doing this? And
is every school district, even the most conservative school districts, are doing this? It's not every teacher. There has been a movement of older teachers retiring early and leaving the schools because they don't want to harm children. And they're afraid to stand up. The teachers that are replacing them are young teachers who have been indoctrinated through their years of college. And they're pushing this. Now, not every teacher is behind this, for sure. I don't want to throw them all under the bus. And there are a lot of teachers who are standing up, who have filed lawsuits. And there's the vast majority of the teachers are just staying silent and just going along to get along because they're afraid.
Would they get fired if they speak up?
They're afraid that they would get fired, name calling. Look, it's very hard to be an advocate in this space because I've been called all sorts of names. And you have to be a really strong person to take bigot, you know, white supremacist, hateful, all these horrible names. And some of these teachers, they need their jobs. And some are also trying to protect the kids by staying at the schools. And, you know, I know teachers who call the students by last names so that they don't have to capitulate to the gender identity, because, you know, calling a child a different name is actually harmful to the kid. It's harmful, and they don't want to be a part of that. But it's not all teachers, but many school superintendents are buying in on this. Look, they have secret files.
We have actually done stories, our reporters, we have had schools where we actually have seen that on their database they have two names and they have a button that says show their legal name or not show their legal name, so they can show a different name to parents if they need to. We actually have verified this ourselves. Now, you mentioned that you're being called these names. Who is calling you these names?
Well, I'm on the hate list for the Southern Poverty Law Group. The LA Times did an article, and the headline was something to the effect of, affluent white woman doesn't want children to get mental health treatments, which is asinine. They twisted everything. I had the Daily Journal, which is the largest legal paper in the state of California. They called to get a picture of me. They were writing an article about the lawsuit that we filed against the Attorney General. And I asked them, would you like to interview me? Would you have any questions for me? The answer was no. So these are legacy media groups that they don't want to know the real story, or they want to bury it. They know what's going on in our schools. And they falsely write about it. They falsely present it. And to me, it's heartbreaking because, again, I subscribe to the New York Times. I listen to NPR religiously, and I don't recognize them. It's filled with lies. Those papers are gone. And why are they doing this? Do they want our children to all be lifetime medical patients? Do they want our children to feel distress in their bodies? I mean, they're just starting to talk about the detransitioners, but we've been knocking on their doors for 4 years, asking them to cover this, sending them information, and they ignore us. The Sacramento Bee, is it the Sacramento Bee, just wrote an article, and they called me conservative, right wing. I'm a Democrat. They know that. They don't want to put that in the story because that's going to open it up for other Democrats that believe what I believe, that children should grow up healthy with all their body parts intact. They want the Democrats to think this is an us versus them, right versus left. It is not. It is about child safeguarding.
Why are so many people leaving California? It wasn't long ago, people from everywhere wanted to move to the Golden State to enjoy a better life. Sadly, the standard of living has been dropping in the past decade. Are you like me and wonder why this is happening? I'm Siamak Karami, host of California Insider. In our film, Leaving California, The Untold Story, I take you an intimate journey of love, loss, tragedy, and hope as residents face the prospect of leaving their beloved state. Everyday people like you tell their stories about why they have to move out of the state even though they don't want to. Experts and policymakers also give insights about what's happening behind the scenes. Together, we get to the root cause of this exodus. Go to leavingcalifornia.com to view the first 15 minutes of the film for free. By watching Leaving California, you can be part of the solution. Again, go to leavingcalifornia.com. Now, you mentioned lifetime patience. What do you mean by that? So when people transition or change their gender, can you tell us what happens?
Once a child starts to go down the medical path, we first start step one, social transition. That is the pipeline for medicalization. They go on puberty blockers. Puberty blockers are not irreversible. They have lifetime effects with brain development, bone density. We have children who have osteoporosis at the age of, under 20. They have bones like an old lady. So they are lifetime medical patients just from puberty blockers. Then you add cross-sex hormones to it. That sterilizes the boys within 4 to 6 months. They're sterilized. Their secondary characteristics don't grow. Once you start messing with that system in the body, even if that child stops, there are lifetime ramifications. Because a boy is not supposed to have all that estrogen in his body. A girl is not supposed to have all that testosterone in her body. Her uterus atrophies. Then she has to get a hysterectomy. Chloe Cole had her breasts removed 4 years ago at the age of 16. She is still having problems with the surgery site. She has infections constantly, different things going on with her body, bone pain. The doctors don't even know how to treat these people. And so you're a medical patient because you're putting hormones in your body for life. And then you're a medical patient if you stop. They don't even have insurance codes for detransitioners. I work with a gentleman in San Francisco. He did everything. He's a schizophrenic. He is bipolar. He was sexually abused as a child. Despite the doctors knowing all of that, he had his genitals removed, flipped inside out, and made into to look like a female genital. He is racked with infection. They do not know how to help him. He is bounced from medical facility to medical facility, urgent care to the ER, back to the gender clinic. He's 29 years old. They don't know how to help him. Scott Nugent. Scott, also known as Kelly, at the age of, I believe, 37, she transitioned. She had phalloplasty done. She is racked with infection after infection. She showed me a picture of her hand, and it looks like it's just blown up, like a Mickey Mouse hand. They don't know how to help her. She is a lifer change to the medical community. And that's what we're doing to children. So we're taking a 12-year-old, by transitioning them, by putting them on puberty blockers, we are saying to that 12-year-old, for the rest of your life, you're going to be going in and out of doctors. And in fact, they're going to shrug their shoulders when you say, my bones hurt, my teeth are cracking. They don't know how to help them. That's what we're doing to children.
Now, Aaron, is there any money to be made out of this? In this process?
Billions. Billions of dollars are being made off of human pain. You can invest in transgender medicine. Just the surgeries alone has a market value of, I believe right now, $4 billion. People are investing in this. Think about the fact that we had one pediatric gender clinic in 2007, and now we have over 250. Why? It's a cash cow. It's a way to make money on children's bodies, and it continues, so it gets worse. So I'm going to go down the rabbit hole a little bit. So when these children are then sterilized and they want to have children, there's more money to be made from them. Because now you have this surrogacy movement. So these kids can't have kids, and you can see this because Plume, which is an online seller of cross-sex hormones, partners with or advertises for Stork. Get yourself a baby. So we're going to sterilize you while you're young, and then we're going to get more money from you. We're going to get you a baby, and that's going to cost you more money. So there's money to be made there, and there's money to be made all along the travel here. So these kids are being taken away from parents who love them. We're taking away our kids here in California if we don't affirm their transgender identity. These children then move into foster care, residential homes. Those residential homes are making money off of these kids with government money pouring into them. They're making money off of these kids too. There's so much money. You have stocks, ESGs, environmental, social, governance. Environmental, you get scorecards. Are you an ESG company? What's your score? This helps with investing. Environmental is very expensive. So nobody does the E. Social, very inexpensive. Throw a pride parade. Open up an LGBT community center. Go around, you know, fund some of this, transgender talks. That's really easy. So they get a bump up on their score. So it helps them money-wise to promote this. Human Rights Campaign gives out some of the scores. Human Rights Campaign is one of the biggest pushers of transgenderism in our country.
Wow. Now, what about the transgenders? What are your thoughts on them? The people that have changed their genders and they might be happy.
First of all, I have to correct you in your language. They are trans-identified people. No one can change their gender. No one can change sex. Can they change the exterior to mimic the other sex? They can. I know of no person who has transitioned, who has gone through all the surgeries, who is doing okay. Now, maybe I haven't met enough, but I know of none. Me personally, I understand their anguish. I have complete empathy for them. It must be horrible to go around life not accepting yourself and having to take on a different identity for the rest of your life. I have sorrow for them. I want them to be happy in them, in their natural bodies. I don't hate them. I'm not angry with them. I have sorrow because I know that they couldn't accept their natural selves, and that's sad to me because we're all perfect, even in our imperfectness. We're all perfect.
Now, you started a movement in the state. You've been very active working on this. Can you tell us what you're doing? Because you're looking to solve this, right?
Yes. And I didn't start the movement alone. There's a lot of people behind me. I just happen to be the front car. But what we're doing in California is so important because we don't have the ability to change the laws that are being passed right now in Sacramento, given the makeup of our legislature. So we, the people, have the ability to make our own laws, which is an amazing aspect of our democracy. So if we don't like what they're doing in Sacramento, we can go ahead and try to make our own laws. And that's what we're doing. So we came up with the ballot initiative, Protect Kids California. And that's going to do really four profound things to bring California back to be the golden state that it used to be. To be a state that values children and values women. The first thing the ballot initiative will do is it will stop all transgender interventions on children. So anyone under the age of 18, no puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, or surgeries. Let's wait for these kids to grow up in their natural bodies. That's the first aspect of it. The second aspect of it is that we're going to get the male bodies out of girls' spaces. No males on female teams. We're seeing all over the news of girls getting injured because there's a male who believes that he's a girl playing against them or with them and harming them. Also at the collegiate level. Get the boys out of the girls' sports. If they want to have a transgender category, I'm all for it. But women should have their safe spaces. We should feel comfortable in our bathrooms, our changing rooms, our showers, our overnight accommodations. And we should have our place on the podium. This is just common sense. Part of that aspect of our ballot initiative, too, is that we're going to define two very important words that I never would have thought needed to be defined, which is female and male. Let's define them in biological terms, in actual terms, what science says, what a female is versus what a male is. It's absurd that we have to do this. But that's part of the initiative. And then the fourth aspect of is what we talked about earlier, which is schools should never keep secrets from parents about children's struggles with mental health issues. Parents need to be in the driver's seat. They need to be part of the discussion when their child thinks that they're a different gender. So very powerful initiative. And the import of it cannot be understated.
And how is it going? Because it's not easy to put these on the ballot. You need a lot of signatures.
We do need a lot of signatures. And this is my first rodeo. So this is hard. It's very hard. But we're getting a lot of backing from the grassroots groups. And what's really interesting is our biggest donors are Democrats. So this crosses all political spectrum. We have lesbian groups going out and collecting signatures. We have the church groups going out. We have all these different groups across the state, Koreans, Arabs, African Americans. They're all against this. The people in Sacramento are not reading the tea leaves. Californians, the polling on this shows that Californians would support our measure if we can get it on the ballot. And Sacramento made it as difficult as possible. They wrote a very biased title and summary. This is on purpose. They want us to fail.
What's the title?
We called it Protect Kids California. Rob Bonta called it Restricts Rights of Transgender Youth. Do you see the difference? He's doing this on purpose because he doesn't want us to be successful. Because if you ask people, would you like to protect kids? All of their hands will go up. Would you like to restrict rights? No, of course we wouldn't. He's putting his thumb on the scale and trying to defeat the will of the people in the state of California.
Now, do you have any other thoughts for our audience?
Well, we are, if people want to know more about the ballot initiative and help in any way, sign it, collect signatures, donate, go to protectkidsca.com and learn more.
Aaron Friday, executive committee member of Protect Kids California. It was great to have you on California Insider.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
We have an exciting news for you. At California Insider, we created a new product. It's called California Insider Opinion. This is where our insiders and experts across the state are actually telling you what's going on behind the headlines. When there's a breaking news, a big issue, important issue happening in California, they're gonna come on the screen and tell you what's happening behind the scenes. And these are like 7 to 10 minutes of opinion formats where the guests are talking to the camera directly, telling you what's happening.
You're paying a tax increase of tens of thousands of dollars every year as a condition of keeping what you already own.
Make sure to look at the description below because you want to sign up on our newsletter, because a lot of these opinions might be very sensitive that some people in the social media platforms may not like. So we're putting them in the newsletter on our website so you can have them. These opinions will actually help you understand the political and policy landscape of California. We highly recommend you follow it.